for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.
Friday afternoon, November 24th, 1989. Thanksgiving weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Reggie Foreman is the speaker of the afternoon.
O house of Israel, know that the Lord thou God, yea, hath apprehended thee. Ye, O house of the Lord, know that I shall begin to unfold the revelation of apprehension, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, I shall teach thee until thou knowest of an assurance, yea, what thou hast been apprehended for. I have called out the apprehended unto myself, saith the Lord. Yea, I shall build a kingdom in you. Yea, and you shall expand into a kingdom that shall fill all the earth, saith the Lord thou God. I tell you the truth, my people, that I shall not discontinue my work in you until the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of your Lord and of his Christ. For the Lord thou God is in the midst of thee mightily. Yea, to pour out upon thee blessings, blessings that will suffice, blessings that will make you sufficient to the hour. I tell you now, my people, that I shall lead you into conquest against the adversary, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, and you shall not slack up until even the memory of the adversary has been erased, saith the Lord thou God. I am taking you beyond the now into the future, saith the Lord, into the then. But I shall be with you every step of the way, for I shall lead you and guide you into all truth, saith the Lord. Yea, come and walk with me, saith the Lord, and I shall lead you into green pastures. I'll lead you beside the still waters. I'll set you a table, prepare you a table of delicacies in the presence of your enemies, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, and my blessings shall not be discontinued in this life or the life to come. Yea, for the Lord thou God is eternal, and I am making you as I am, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, I am not speaking of something that is here today and is eradicated tomorrow, but I'm speaking of that which will last after all the temporal things have disappeared, saith the Lord thou God. I'm speaking to you of the eternal. I'm speaking to you of life. Yea, life that I give, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, I shall light a candle in you that will begin to transcend the darkness. Yea, and will eradicate darkness wherever you flow, saith the Lord. I'll make you a river that floweth with life, saith the Lord thou God, and all the lands wherein thou flowest, yea, shall healing come, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, look up and rejoice, for you the day of redemption, yea, the day of the fullness of all things is coming nearer, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, and thou shalt feel my presence in a more sure way than you have felt before, for the Lord thou God shall make himself very real to you. Yea, I know that the spirits of just men made perfect are hovering even now, yea, awaiting a people that can walk into life. Yea, that the finishing product of their perfection, yea, can be capped off. Yea, and we'll march as Zion, as the army of God. Yea, and nothing shall stand before you, saith the Lord thou God. Behind thee, yea, is a field of stubble, and before thee, yea, there are mighty promises, mighty gushing rivers of living water. Mighty springs, yea, that spring up out of the dry soil, saith the Lord thou God. I am bestowing on thee great blessings, yea, and fruits of righteousness, saith the Lord thou God. I shall have thee to walk in mine image, yea, and in dominion, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, and you shall not be defeated, but you shall be victorious. You will not go under, you shall come over, saith the Lord thou God, because I, the Lord, shall be with thee, yea, and I shall sustain thee and I shall lead thee in all thy ways, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, I am endeavoring to get the attention of the called out, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, for I'm calling on you for a greater dedication than the natural man will let you give, saith the Lord thou God. I'm calling on you to bypass the intellect and to reach deep into your spirit. For deep shall call unto deep, and you will know that you have been touched by the hand of the Almighty in the land of the living, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, it is I that speaks to you. It is I, yea, and that depth that you feel in the depth of your being is deep calling unto deep. Yea, the voice of the Almighty, yea, the words of God are coming unto you under the anointing. Yea, and the Spirit of the Almighty shall make them alive, yea, in your being. And you will know of an assurance that you've been in the presence of God. Yea, know that even now the Spirit of the Almighty and the Shekinah glory of God. Yea, and I shall bless you whereby that you may be a blessing, saith the Lord. Yea, you shall not go home, return as you come, for change after change is taking place in your life. Yea, even beginning now, saith the Lord thou God. Do not resist it, yea, but rather yield yourself to it wholeheartedly and say, here am I, Lord. Yea, and see what the Lord will do. Just a little handful of corn in the top of the mountain, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, for know that God is God, and he can win by many, or he can win by few. Yea, he is not limited, neither is he restricted. I tell you of a truth, saith the Lord, that I'm visiting you in a very present way today, saith the Lord. Yea, take heed to the word of God, yea, and to that which your ears shall hear, yea, and let it find, let it be a seedling in a fertile ground in your spirit, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, that you shall go forth and bring forth. Yea, for I tell you now that my word will not return void, yea, but it will accomplish that for which it is spoken, saith the Lord thou God. I am now anointing you with a special anointing, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, I am opening up your spirit of understanding. Yea, I am bringing to you an enlargement, saith the Lord thou God. Do not resist, yea, but yield, and so shall you be enlarged. Yes, and you shall be blessed and be a blessing. For the Lord has spoken, and who is he that can gainsay? If God be for us, who can be against us? Or he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather that is risen and is even now seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, we are killed all the day long for thy sake. Yea, I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And it is this love that will perfect you. Yea, walk with me in the land of the living. Yea, wrestle with the carnal mind and the carnal man. And one day you will walk into the perfect law of liberty. Yea, and find that was your enemy, yea, is then submitted. This is a way to conquest, saith the Lord. You are a kingdom people. Yea, let us not gainsay, but you are a kingdom people. And the Lord is building a kingdom. Hallelujah. The kingdom of God is at hand. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Thank the Lord. Oh, bless the Lord. I just greet you further now. We're happy to be here. I just came in, and I just felt the presence of the Lord as I come on the campground. And I know that you're having a great time, and we'll continue to have a great time. And the presence of the Lord is prevalent. Praise the Lord. And we'll just enjoy our stay for how brief or how long it is. Hallelujah. And worship the Lord with you. We just come to present ourselves before his presence and see what he'll do. Hallelujah. And he'll do whatever we will allow him to. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. I do so want to be obedient to the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Amen. So it'll make it easy for you to minister to me. Hallelujah. If we're sitting around with curses, you know, under a whole lineage of curses, it makes us hard to minister to. Praise the Lord. Amen. Yeah, to minister freedom and the moving of God, you know, and God's wonderful Spirit. So it's good. I know I'm confident of one thing, that he who hath begun a good work in us is able to perform it until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you, he's going to remove the last spot, the last blemish, and iron out the last wrinkle. Hallelujah. Amen. And he is the only one that can do it. He will just gauge his speed by our submission, Morning. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's good to be here. In fact, that's what Peter said on the Mountain of Transfiguration. he was at a loss for words, so he said, Lord, it's good to be here. And I think all preachers since then has picked up on that phrase, and we say, well, when we don't know anything else to say, we just say, Lord, it's good to be here.
I heard at least three times the word be submissive. Does that mean anything to you? If we're not submissive, we'll not be able to overcome. So if we expect to walk in or be part of what the word of the Lord just said, then we have to be submissive to the will of God. And we have to search and find it for our lives and then desire to fulfill it. And there will be all kinds of circumstances that will arise to stop it. And you have to be an overcomer. Because if you're not, you will not fulfill the purpose that God has for your life, because Satan's purpose is to stop it. And we have to be determined that I will overcome. And you're going to have to fight it every day. And then as you go day by day and know and fulfill today, then you do tomorrow and you do tomorrow, and you look back 5 years from now and see what God hath wrought. Yeah. Amen. It's only what he can do and what he does that will count. And as we're faithful to the very best of our ability, and we're all going to make a mistake, and we're all going to do something that's not going to be right along the road. But as those things happen, we pick up and kick ourselves in the rear end and get going again. That's right. You don't stop because you make a mistake. You've got to keep carrying on. And you get up and go on and you try to forget the mistake, but don't let it happen twice. But we've got a battle to fight. And we've got a kingdom to declare. And and the Lord says that we're his battle axe. And he hasn't got anybody else but those who will stand up and do it. Now, we're not the only ones standing up and doing it. Don't go away and think that's what I'm implying, because that's not so. There in every nation on the face of the earth, there's somebody that God's got that's got enough guts to stand up and be counted regardless of the circumstances. Amen. But to those who stand are the rewards. Now, I'm not really looking for the rewards, but that's still a promise. To him that overcometh. In the book of Revelations, there are 8 times that it is given to him that overcometh. And the only overcomers are those who have come through without spot and wrinkle, because otherwise you're not an overcomer. So help us all to desire to come to that place in the Lord where we overcome and overcome and overcome. Amen. Here a little, there a little. Here a little, there a little, and the glory of the Lord in our midst. Hallelujah. Reggie, got to get that thing on you. And while I'm putting that on you, girls, play something here short. And Bill, collect up a couple of fellows there and help you with the offering. And you pray over it, Doc. And I'll harness Reggie up here so we can carry on. Go ahead, pray, Bill, and then... Bob, some of you, please. Okay. Bob.
Bob, come up.
Get my wife to play the altar harp. Something happened when David played his harp. Something left Saul. And I just wanted to play something.
No, I had a song I was going to sing, but I feel that the Lord wants me to sing this song. A sanctuary is a holy place. A temple is a holy place. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost, and the purpose of these meetings are to learn how to be pure and holy.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving. I'll be a living sanctuary. Sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary.
Quite different from some services that some of you have been in.
Praise the Lord.
It's going to be a...
It already is.
It's already different. It's so important that it'll be important that you keep your mind on the Lord. If not, you know, things won't go just right maybe for you. It's a serious service. This is a time not to take it lightly. Mark 16:15. Now what this tape will be called, nobody knows. The prophecy coming to pass. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But the brother this morning ministered on anger and bitterness. And then last night we heard about unforgiveness, and that was preparing us for right now to receive what God's got for us right now. And I had something that I thought would fit in, but the Lord told me to turn that page and leave it. And so here we go. You pray that I say just what we need to hear. Mark 16:15. We're going to keep it simple. Saints, can I say saints? We're going to keep it simple. Amen. Hallelujah. Mark 16:15. He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. It's amazing that we forget to quote it in order, but I believe it's important that he put it in this order. What's the first sign that will follow the believer? In my name they shall cast out devils, the King James says. Of course, there's only one devil, but who knows how many demons, but only God himself knows. But these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They'll do what? They shall cast out devils. If you are a believer, before you leave here, in the next few moments, God's going to use you to do that. God's going to use you. It says, in my name they'll cast out devils. They'll speak with new tongues. God gave me the tongue of the Cananesian language. If any of you can speak Cananesian or understand it, I can tell you something in the spirit. They shall take up serpents, and a lot of people think you're supposed to get a few snakes, put them in a bucket, and bring them to church. We get accused of that, though we don't do it. But they shall take up serpents in my Strong's Concordance. That's the exact same word as demonic powers and spirits. I believe we can take the serpents out of our lives and throw them out that door and off with our belongings and out of our friends' lives, our loved ones, our children's lives. I believe we can do that in the name of the Lord. And I believe we're going to have to do that before the Lord comes back and sets his kingdom up as he sees that he wants to do it. And the only people that God's going to use is the people without spotting wrinkle. And until we learn to cast out demons and speak with new tongues and take up those serpents and cast them out, that won't be done. But we're learning that in the name of the Lord. They shall drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and not maybe, but the sick shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth, preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming what the word with signs following. Amen. We're going to speak the word and we're going to see signs following. With signs following, God will confirm the word. We won't have to get on the radio station and yell out and say, the Lord's over here. The Lord's going to take care of that. Jesus didn't go have to get in the newspaper and say, oh, you know, I'm going to work a miracle today. He is the word. People heard that. Hallelujah. And we just need to let the Lord work through us. And we're going to do that in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now the next scripture is Exodus 1:9. Hallelujah. I'm not as fast as the doctor. The doctor would read the scripture before I could get to it. He would go so fast I would forget where Jeremiah was. No, doctor, you did wonderful. You blessed me, brother. Hallelujah. Yeah. Praise God. Exodus 1:9. Exodus, the book of Exodus 1:9. Somebody says, well, why you turn to the whole Testament? It's all one book, ain't it, brother? Somebody says, I only believe in the New Testament. I said, okay, if you only believe in the New Testament, you've got to throw away Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Keep going. Throw away Malachi. But you don't stop there. Did you know Matthew's in the Old Testament? Luke. Mark, Luke, John, and Acts 1. And also Acts chapter 2, part of verse 1. So you got to erase the very first part of it before you really get in the New Testament. So I believe the word of God. Jesus says, I didn't come to destroy or do away with, but I came to fulfill it. So I believe the entire word of God. I believe in eating. You know, when I go through the lunch line, the sisters say, what do you want? I say, I want everything. I want it all. And I think too many of us said, I don't want that spiritually. I don't think I need it. And you walk around as skinny as a toothpick and expecting God to use you. We need to let God have His way. Let's eat all that God has for us. All right, Exodus chapter 1, verse 9. All right. And he said unto his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than I. Now, if you deacons and teachers would allow me, and pastors and prophets, let me say that, if you'll let me get away with it, let me say that the devil said to all his demonic powers, the people of God are more and mightier than us. Come, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war... And there is a war going on. If there falleth out any war, they join also with our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh's treasure cities, Pithion and Ramses. You know, I believe the devil has looked out and said, okay, all your demonic powers, the people of God are beginning to get a little bit excited and begin to grow a little bit too fast, and we are now in danger. Let us afflict them and burden them, and let us also tell them that everything that's there is of God, and let us destroy them, and don't let them have knowledge. Let's let them be destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Let's let them be pushed down and shoved down where they won't even know that there's hope. Let us do that to them. And let us let them make empires for us. Let us afflict them and fill their minds with different things. And let them get on the satellites. Let them get on the big TV programs. And let them just be a laughing stock. I'm telling you, the devil has done that. The devil has done that to so many of even people who at one time were so close to God and knew the truth, but they denied part of it, and that was the part that they should not have denied. The first thing we've got to do is deal with demonic powers. I believe that if you do not get those demonic powers out of your life, they will become religious. And they will not just fight the church, they will join the church. And they will begin to build their own little empires in the church. And it will begin to cause division and pollutions, and things will begin to happen just like it did in Ai. When the Lord used the people of Israel to march around the walls of Jericho, those walls came falling down because the people of God were pure and holy and clean and believed the power of the living God 100%. But there was one man after Jericho fell, he began to look in there and say, let me have a little bit of this Babylonian garment, and let me have a little silver and a little bit of their gold, and let me take it with me and hide it under my bed. You'll be surprised at the amount of ministers of God that have hidden things under their bed, and they've polluted even the country. Thank God that you people know the truth, and the truth is making us free. I thank God for the truth of God. I'm telling you, and I'm telling you this, that they decided to go to Ai. They spied out and said, Ai is a small little town, population very little. Well, no need of us sending all of our great army. We will take them with no problem. A few of them went up there and was going to take the city, and 36 of them the first time the Israelites were killed. And they come running back, and the prophet of God fell down and said, Lord, what's wrong? And then Achan confessed. Some people say, well, you know, the Lord understands. Well, let me tell you what, the Bible's the Bible. And I'm telling you, if you play with fire, you're going to get burned. And if you ignore the devil, he does not flee. You've got to deal with him. You've got to resist him. And I'm telling you, the Bible says, but you can't stop there. We do wrestle, but not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. I'm telling you, we wrestle every day of our life, but thank God. I thank God that greater is Jesus that's in us than the devil that's in the world. And we're going to see people right here freed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I need freedom. We all need more freedom. I'm more free today than I was 1 year ago. I'm more free today than I was, if you'll let me say it, than yesterday. Every day I experience something from God afresh, and God wants to minister to you today if you will open up and let Him do it. God will do it. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, the devil says, let's afflict them. Let's pull them down. But let me tell you what, the more the devil afflicts us, the stronger we're going to get in God. Because we know how to handle that thing in the name of the Lord. But I'm sorry. I'm very sorry for the people who don't know the first thing that the Lord told us to do. And that's to cast out the demons. Demons become religious if you don't get rid of them. You know, I don't want to get in a doctrine dispute. But if you ever read about the Azusa Street, things was going good. But one of the ministers said everything is God. The other minister says, no, that's not God. That's not God up there saying things like that and doing things like that and carrying on and even cursing. That's not God. And the doors were shut and God pulled His Spirit back. But I believe that in this day, and we're going to experience it right now, God's going to move afresh, and you'll have discernment to know good and evil, and you know what's bad and what's good, and you'll get rid of the evil and keep the good. We need to know that. We need to be freed in the name of the Lord. But let me show you Exodus chapter 3, verse 7. The Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, not the world, but God's people, which are in Egypt. The Egypt to me means the world, and have heard that cry by the reason of their taskmasters, for they know their sorrows. I believe that people are crying out. And you've got the answer if you'll take it to them. And I'm telling you that I believe we're going to see a move of God, which I believe will be the final revival, but it's beginning now. I see it now. I'm experiencing it now where I live, and you too are beginning to see the move of God, and I believe that it's going to be the greatest revival that ever was. I believe it's going to bring the Lord back. I believe that in the name of the Lord. Praise God. But look at verse 1 of chapter 5. I'll just look at one part. Afterward, Moses up and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God, which Pharaoh to me represents the devil. The prophets of God said what? Let my people go. You know what God wants us to do? Set the people of God free. The people of God are bound. I'm telling you, it's understanding that the world is lost and on its way to hell, and it's going to seem like it's going to stay that way until God's people wake up and become free enough to help the people out. But let me tell you, I'm telling you this, a man that barely can swim himself, how can he save a drowning man? We're going to have to become experts in what we're doing. We're going to have to learn how to keep our heads above the water ourselves. But a man who claims to be a man of God is out there going up and down and catching breath every now and then as the world pulls him back down. How can he help the drowning out? How can he? We need to be firm and stand on that rock and tell the devil to let the people of God go. Then the world can be touched. Hallelujah. Verse 11 of chapter 6. Let the children of Israel go. Chapter 7, the last part of verse 16. Let my people go that they may what? Serve me in the wilderness and behold to thou wouldest not hear. But one thing I wanted you to see, that God is speaking through the prophet. Let the people of God go that they may serve Him. That's what deliverance is all about, to enable or give you the freedom to serve God more. I want to serve God more. I will serve God more. And before we leave, we're going to get down in some stuff you probably never heard before. And we're going to make a few things upset. But if somebody screams out, that's all right. When Jesus stood up in the synagogue, there was a man in the synagogue who screamed out and said, leave us alone. You'll probably hear that before we go. In the next few moments, you might see a few other things, but you keep your mind and heart stayed upon the Lord. You will be protected. The angels of the Lord. Hallelujah. Far more beyond what we think. God's protection's here. And you are a child of God. And if you love God and you have forgiveness and you've forgiven all, you're going to be the one that God's going to use. And we're going to need some help here. After when we start making deliverance, we're going to have to begin to pair off. There's going to be some that's going to need help. And you're going to need to be willing to help. Hallelujah. You know, I like deliverance when you get down to business. You don't put on. You can tell those who's walking the straight and narrow. They run on up and a few of them leave, run out the door, you know, they concern. I better go on, I'm getting in trouble, aren't I? A little bit of my testimony is that I began pastoring in November the 4th, 1974. Of all places, my hometown. I did evangelistic work two years. It seemed like 2 weeks, it was so good, but 2 years before, I started in 72 and 73 until November of 74 when the Lord spoke to me and says, I want you to do a work, pastor in your hometown. I tried to say, Lord, you know, a prophet's not honored in his own hometown. And then it took me until this year to find out that ain't what the Lord said. It doesn't say hometown. Not at all. It says your own country. Isn't that strange how we misquote things? That's something else, but sometimes we just think scriptures say things when you use it for an excuse. You know, like the Lord helps them and helps themselves. Think that's in the Bible? Glory, I'm getting in trouble again. Let's keep going. But I began pastoring in 74, and you know, that's when the four gospel people were pretty level-headed. You know, if a demon manifested, at least they would cast it out. But then they began to get a little too big for their britches, if you let me say. I can talk about them because I was one. They thought they had it all figured out and they wanted to get a little higher up. And they began to teach on prosperity instead of deliverance. They began to teach you can have anything that you want. You know, have what you say. Blab it and grab it. A lot of our blabbing did grab us, didn't it? But anyway, as I ministered, the church I was pastoring and still pastoring in Gloucester became the biggest of all the churches in that area. And I don't know if the Lord did it or the devil. But it grew. It took a while, but it grew. But in 1982, the Lord paid me a visit. And you know, the children of Israel was happy the Lord was going to pay them a visit until the Lord got there. And then the fig leaf fell off. You know, well, the Lord paid me a visit in 1982 and said, I wanted you to preach the word just like it's written. And you know better than that because you've experienced some things and you've backed up on it. And I pray the Lord to forgive me. I preached my first sermon and it was only women that ran up there and got on to me that time. They said, don't preach on Jezebel no more. It's just like you grabbed my neck and you choked me. Boy, they didn't like that. But it was the Spirit, not the women. And then things kept on. A few men began to say, don't do that, especially when I hit Ahab. The big babies, all they want to do is fish and hunt and let mama take care of everything else. And I got me a little where they was upset at me. And then what hurt me, and I'm honest now, this is in 1982. Now, I pastored for, 8 years? And I saw the church grow so large and get so big, you know. And I guess I was kind of proud. You know, it's kind of like Gideon, you know, Lord, my army until, as long as it's 32,000, but when it became, what was it, 300? It was the Lord's army. Lord, your army. Gideon forgot it was his then. But the Lord began to speak through me, and I began to preach the word just like we read in Mark chapter 16, starting with verse 15. And I never saw such demon manifestation in my life. I'm talking about people that were on helping the church, elders. I was surprised. Three of the people who I love the most, and though this is on tape, it's the truth, but my daddy's not that way anymore. My daddy, our assistant pastor at the church at that time, and one of the ladies is come one morning. I was in the church in the back praying. You know, something about when you get to get in the will of the Lord, you want to pray more. Seek God's face. And you just want to spend time with God. Things don't matter like they used to. They come kind of storming in through the door. And my daddy said it. And he said, this is my daddy that I still love. But he's, like I say, he's different now. It took until this year for him to begin to change, it seems like, or what have you. But care for that preaching anymore. We don't know what happened to heaven.
We don't know what happened to the blessings of the Lord and Jesus. But see, my daddy didn't understand that hell is mentioned more times than heaven in the Bible. If you just read the Bible, you hear more about hell than you do heaven. And a few other things we won't get into. But we said that, and an assistant pastor, and then one of the ladies that helped us really start in the church on November the 4th, 1974. Here it is, 1982 in the summer. They said what they said, and it was like somebody took not just a small knife, but the biggest knife you could ever find and stuck it into me, but that ain't all. It looked like they turned it back and forth. And everything on the inside of me hurt. When they walked out of that, off of the little door there, and then went out the sanctuary on outside, I guess I gave them time enough that they could hear him. But I just didn't step out of my chair. I fell out of the chair I was sitting in and flat on the floor. And my eyes ran tears like a river. And I said, Lord, I don't want to preach anymore. I don't. You know, I figured that was a way to keep from compromising, you know. I just don't want to preach. Just let me go over here. This Baptist church needs help. Let me support them, or let me take up, be an usher. I mean, I wasn't laughing at this time. I'm crying. I said, let me be an usher. Let me help that church. Let me maybe even, you know, be a young people's director or something. But I never want to preach again. And as I was crying in desperation, I said to the Lord, I said, and to feed my family. See, the church was paying me a good salary. I said, and to feed my family. This came out of my mouth, but I felt it on the inside. There's a reason I said it. Out of the abundance of your heart, I believe your mouth speaks. I said, I will take a shovel, and I will clean sewage ditches out. And as clear as I heard the Lord speak when he called me to preach in 1972, I heard his voice the same way again say in 1982 in the summertime. He said, Reggie, that's what I've called you to do, but spiritually, because my people are full of sewage. And until somebody takes the shovel and cleans their drain out, they're going to die in their sins. I said, Lord, I will preach. I got up the next Sunday morning and I said this. I said, people come, people go, but preacher stays. They didn't like that. I stayed and they left. You can ask my wife. Every one of them left but my wife. I had one child then, and I got busy and had a couple more, but we had to have help then. Everybody left but my wife and my one daughter and my mother-in-law. People's got bad things to say about my mama-in-law. If it wasn't for my mama-in-law, I wouldn't have nobody to preach to. I'm serious. And Sunday after Sunday, my mother-in-law sit there. And I poured my heart out just like I had 1,000 people. And I was happy to have another little boy. I had a little boy then. At least I had 4 people in church. But I stayed faithful, my people. The devil was mad because I quit building his empires. And I began to do what God called me to do. And I today will not trade it for anything because I have the peace of God. And Sunday morning, we had the biggest crowd that we've ever had because people are seeing that Jesus is the way. That religion won't set you free. That a preacher's hand won't set you free. That dabbling in the world is not the way, but the straight and narrow way, being holy and pure and letting Jesus Christ do the work. It was hard. Here it is, 1989. It took from 82 till probably 86 or 87 before we saw some other face. I don't remember years, but it was about that long, wasn't it? But it's worth it, isn't it? I'm telling you that things are good now. We are going to have to build us a building. And a man gave us the land a few months back. Another man brought a bulldozer out that don't even go to church, cleaned the land off free of charge. See,
You stay faithful. And God will do it. You stay faithful. But the people are to be free to serve the Lord. And I'm telling you that it'll pay off. Tell the truth. The truth is what will make the people free. Hallelujah. But that's what God wants to do. That's the ministry. You know, not everybody wants to get in deliverance ministry. Just like, how many people like to get in septic tanks? Wasn't my choice. Is this something God called me into? I'll get my reward when He comes back. I might not get it now. I don't look for it now. But you better do what God's called you to do or you will be sorry. Some people's getting their rewards now. I'm saying, you know, some of them's getting their rewards now. You know, they sound the trumpet every time they do something. Boop, they have their reward. But you that's doing it in secret and prayer, God's going to use you. Praise God. And you, when I say secret, I mean that when you give to the Lord, you don't write Brother Glenn and tell him all about it. You just put in that offering and help with the work that God's ordained here. And God will bless you. That's right. Let's keep going. The Lord is going to fit this together. Psalm 7 and 2. And we're fixing to get down to the nitty gritty. Some things maybe you never heard before. Some of you have heard it. But I'm saying the same thing I say it at the church I've been pastoring 15 years. Except I just found this out. This part right here. Psalm 7 and 2. Now, this all fits together. Where we read, where the devil was mad, or Pharaoh was upset because the children of God were more mightier. So he wanted to afflict them. And he used them to build some houses for Pharaoh. Pharaoh wanted some own personal things. All right, we understand how that brings us up, that the devil tries to use even God's people to get glory to himself, the devil. All right, now we looked at how that God wants the people freed so they can serve him. And here is he again. Lest he tear my soul in Psalm 7 and 2. Like a lion, rendering it to pieces, in pieces, while there is none to deliver. You see, the devil has run from one believer to another. Grabbed a hold to their soul and tore it to pieces. You'll say, uh-uh. I say, uh-huh. I got the Bible to back me up. Somebody says, well, I'm a Christian. The devil can't touch my soul. The devil can't touch your spirit because it's sealed with the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. But what is your soul? Your mind, will, and emotion. When you got saved, did your mind, will, and emotions get saved? If you did, you would be perfect. Our mind, will, and emotions are being saved every day. Somebody says, well, when I got saved, you can't tell me that the devil's sitting on the inside of me and God's sitting on the inside of me. Boy, them Pentecostal oneness tell me that. Are there two thrones? And they just believe there's... Well, I better not say it. Let me keep... How can two be on the inside of you? Well, let me ask you something. When you got saved, what got saved? Your spirit. If your body got saved, you would never get sick. You never get a cold. What's a cold? And you tell me you can't have a demon? Doc, what's a germ? How many germs can fit on their pencil? No wonder 2,000 hogs ran off in the ocean. When one said, my name is Legion, that was one family of 2,000. Somebody says, well, man, how many demons do I have? I quit counting. I wished I just had a legion. Well, that's one family. Man, the more you get into it, the better you feel. But thank God I don't have to go through it the second time. Of all the millions that I've already got rid of. Well, how many demons can fit in a little old body? How many germs can fit under a pencil lid? Get your mind a-turning, huh? Lest he tear my soul like a lion. See, the devil's took our minds, will, and emotions of many Christians and tore them, split them, and scattered them. A lot of Christians say, well, you know, I give my heart to Jesus. And they've got on that little kick, you know, good confession, which I believe in good confession. But I know for a fact it don't take care of everything. There are some things that I keep on missing. We got to deal with some things. One lady said in the congregation her daughter was born with feet that turned in. The minister stood up. The gift of healing was flowing through him and deliverance. He turned to that mother and says, what's wrong with your child's feet? She said, what feet? See, people don't even want to face the real problem. The first thing you got to do is face the problem head on. You can't ignore the devil and he'll flee. You got to face him. You've got to. In the name of the Lord. Scattered soul. See, the devil has scattered the soul like a lion tearing it to pieces. Psalms 22:13, they gaped upon me with their mouth as a roving lion. Talking about the powers of darkness. Come upon and chew on even the soul. Isn't that something? Your mind, will, and emotions. Where is the battleground? I would say it would be your mind. That's the reason Jesus says we've got to renew our mind upon the Word of God. And then a scripture I want to look at is Ezekiel chapter 13. Hallelujah. It's going to get pretty good here. Hallelujah. If you get tired of sitting down, you can unfasten your seatbelt, stand up, and sit back down. Fasten your seatbelt back. Ezekiel chapter 13, verse 18. I want to start reading there. Ezekiel 13, verse 18. We're talking about deliverance. We're going to deal with the scattered soul a little bit. What I'm going to tell you is we're fixing to get the piece of that soul that's been missing out of you and get it back. You'll say, where is it at? Let's read. Verse 18. And say, thus saith the Lord, woe to the women. Now, King James put women in there. It's italicized. Not necessarily is it women. This is a spirit. See, if you got a King James, it's italicized, isn't it? It says, woe unto women that sew pillows. But I don't say that it's necessary women. It is a spirit that sew pillows into all armholes and make handkerchiefs upon the head of every statue to do what? Hunt souls. Will you hunt the souls of whose people? My people. And will ye save the souls alive that come unto you? And will ye pollute me among my people for handfuls of barley and for pieces of bread? What's going on in our congregations all across the land? That very thing. You might have to read that yourself sometimes. To do what? Slay the souls that should not die. And to save the souls alive that do what? Should not live. So what we got is, it's no confusion in the Lord. Do you understand that? But what we got some souls that's supposed to be dead, that's alive, and some that's alive that's supposed to be dead. By your lying to my people that hear your lies. Wherefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I am against your pillows, wherewith ye have hunt the souls to make them do what? Fly. The souls begin to fly. And I will tear them from your arms and will let the souls go, even the souls that you hunt to make them fly. Your handkerchiefs also will I tear and do what? Deliver my people out of your hand. We're fixing to deliver some souls out of some hands right now in the name of the Lord. And they shall be no more in your hand to be hunted, and you shall know that I am the Lord. And you know, I've bumped into some witchcraft, and I've seen these satanic worshipers put curses upon Christians and really bring tragedy to some of these Christians. I don't put fear upon you, but I believe in the blessings of Jacob. I believe if you forgive and walk in forgiveness, as we learned last night and this morning, free from bitterness and hurts, I believe that you will have divine protection, because there is a blessing of Jacob that the curse won't stick. But the thing is, you got to hear and do what needs to be done to get what you need this afternoon. We're going to have to examine to see if you're missing part of your mind, will, and emotions. Not only is it when witchcraft comes against you from foreign countries, or maybe even as it's growing on this in this land, but I believe you can take medicines and lose part of your mind, will, and emotions. I believe that you can take drugs, and it's definitely a form of witchcraft. I'm talking about cocaine, LSD, and things like that. Valiums and many things will take your soul somewhere. I know of one time in my life, my wife and I experienced something. And I'm not putting fear upon you, believe me. But I performed, or did I preach that woman's funeral? Or was I just there? A Marian. But we buried a woman who died, I believe, of cancer, who didn't go to church anywhere. You know how it is. They just want you to help. But when we buried her, something strange happened. One of the people I love, part of her soul was buried with this woman. And we had to command the demons to loose that soul that belonged to this other woman. You'll say, that's strange. It's strange. And if you stood up here and told me that, I wouldn't believe it until I seen it myself, probably. But this thing works. What I'm telling you is that if you buried somebody you love so dearly and you're still not over it, you could have buried part of yourself. 6 foot under. Do you have to go back there? No. We just commanded the demons to turn the piece of that mind loose and that soul. And we asked the Lord to send angels. We didn't pray to the angels, but we asked the Lord to send angels and get them out, the pieces of the soul, and put back in the rightful place. And it happened. Right then. Right then. And you know, if God can do one thing, I am just the way. I said, Lord, if you can do it that way, my wife is missing part of her knee. Part of her joint. See, my wife, sweet little her, was going to go jogging and lose, 5 pounds? Ended up gaining about 25 because she laid up in the hospital because she broke her leg. But you know, I can prove to you, or she can, all things work together for good. Because how did I meet you? I went to pray for this sweet lady. You know, a good pastor, when he hears of somebody that he doesn't even know, he goes and prays. So I drove to Natchez, Mississippi to pray for my future wife, who I didn't know was my future wife. So all things work together for your good. But she fell, broke her knee while she was jogging in a place called Rosetta, Mississippi. Going down a hill, around a curve, somebody was going to pull a trick on her, jumped out and scared her, and she went faster than she was supposed to, fell and crushed her knee, and they operated her on her in the Natchez Hospital, took part of her joint away. They said she had never walked without a crutch and a brace because part of the leg is gone. Crushed, destroyed. Make a long story short, very long story. My wife and I were married, and God supernaturally fixed it so she could walk, but she still had problems because part of the leg's missing. After God showed us about the soul, I said, all right, you devil, you done took part of my wife's joint, and it's time for you to turn that joint loose in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I saw it with my eyes. This happened. It was strange. I didn't see the joint, but I saw the leg stretch way out. I did not see the joint, but her leg pulled apart and something went inside her leg. Her leg went back together, and I believe that the joint came back, and she does too. You see, the devil stole that joint. In fact, the demon began to scream out. He says, my name is Killer. And he named some people that he killed. And he says, I'm collecting pieces of people's body and their minds, wills, and emotions. And I will not turn that joint loose. And I said, you will in the name of the Lord. I said, you spirit of killer that lives in the curve, that bad curve at Rosetta. He laughed and says, I've killed people in that curve. I killed and he named over people. And it's strange that certain bridges are dangerous. He'd spilt some beans. And it's strange that other places and curves are quite strange. It looked like somebody shouldn't have a wreck, but wrecks have happened so much there. That demon began to scream out and says, the others don't have to let them go. I'm not going to let them go. And I said, you let me meet them there, let them go. And I said, turn it loose. And I had to become violent. I commanded that spirit to turn it loose. And I asked the Lord to send ministering angels to go get the pieces of her joint. Part of them was in the ditch of the road, buried in a cupboard at Rosetta. It's what I gather in my spirit. But some more of them, the doctor flushed down the drain as he operated. And it went out into the sewage of Natchez, Mississippi. So the angels went and picked them up in Rosetta, Mississippi. And the angels went and picked them up over there, the other pieces of them right there in Natchez, and put them back in the rightful place. And praise God, she's a walking and got a joint today.
Hallelujah.
I'm talking about a joint in her leg. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I'm telling you just a testimony that it works. And if you got something missing, in fact, years back, I wasn't even in deliverance, and they had a special that I had to sit and watch. And in this thing, they said if we can find microscopes so strong that a man that has a limb missing, we can see that missing limb through that microscope. And they had dots drove like a man lost his arm, and they had a microscope so strong. Maybe the doctor could tell you more about it than I. But they could see that arm, an outline of it, not the whole arm, but they could see an outline of it. And even then, before I was in deliverance, I was a Christian back in 1965. I said, Lord, isn't that strange that they can see it? They can see the image of it. Isn't that strange? A missing leg, a foot, they could see it under the microscope, this new microscope. And I said, something strange there. And it took the Lord that many years, from around 1965 until this past few years, that I began to see something come to pass. And I believe that the devil has torn the soul and scattered it. I believe the devil has taken from the people of God and put things here and there. And I'll go further and tell you this, that I've found people who have been in former marriages. I've seen their parts of their soul leave with another mate. I've seen the times that people have committed adultery and could not get free from it. And the Bible even tells you that when you join yourself to a harlot, you become one. And your soul is with that harlot until you ask God to forgive you and you break that curse. And you got to go further than that. You got to ask God to have mercy on you. And you got to command that demon to turn the bit of your soul loose when you committed adultery with that harlot. And you got to ask the Lord to send an angel and get the piece of your soul that's missing and put it back in its rightful place. The Lord told me the reason the devil's able to torment so many families today is because Hosea says, my people are being destroyed for the lack of knowledge. And God's telling us that it's time for us to be complete spirit, soul, and body. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of the Lord. It's time for us to let God do the whole work. I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of the Lord. That's a kingdom message, brother. It's fresh. That's the first time I heard it, just this moment. But I'm telling you, that's the word of the Lord. That's the word of the Lord. God's going to make us complete spirit, soul, and body. In the name of the Lord. I've dealt with people, and I've seen the times that any time somebody was put under anesthesia. Is that what you call it? Anesthesia? Doctor, help me out, please. I have a college degree, but I'm not going to tell you in what. You would laugh. But anytime you was put under an anesthesia, is that what you call it? You know what I'm talking about. Blow gas until you're a shot. You lost part of your soul. That's right. In fact, the Bible teaches us that we shouldn't go through that. Well, I don't have a choice. Well, thank God for doctors. Most of us would be dead without doctors, but they use... You wonder why their sign is a snake on a pole. Right. Oh, I'm going to get in trouble before it's over, ain't I?
Hallelujah.
I mean, there are some sorceries. What does sorcery do? What is sorcery? Witchcraft. But that I've seen the time that we had to ask the Lord to bring the peace of the soul back. In fact, a spirit of cancer began to talk one time and says, I don't have to leave. I came in when they was put under a seizure and anesthetic. And I was on the knife blade. The doctor forgot to wash the knife blade. So you see, you just need to be on your toes and break those curses. I was worried that one soul was living that should not have been living. The other one was dead, it should have been alive. And that's strange. But it's the truth. Hallelujah. I'll go on some more. maybe. I'm just going to... Now, we hit this on the scattered soul, but it's a few other things that I feel I need to hit, but I won't take long. It was a school teacher from Georgia came to our church just a couple months back. She came for deliverance. She came to the right place, just like right here. See, nobody in Georgia, in fact, I don't guess it's but one place like this in the world. Sometimes I get to thinking it ain't but one church, like, oh, we got over there in Gloucester, but, I mean, but there's more. I understand that. I don't say there's more places like this. But there are some other churches that do believe in deliverance. But she came, and she wanted deliverance, and we prayed. Spirit of wolf manifested. Vampire. And some lady had a book that she had read, that she had in her possession. My wife told her to get rid of the book, save me from having to say it. But that author, my wife could tell you maybe who the author was a deliverance minister who said you could not get rid of the spirit of wolf. But the Lord gave us a breakthrough, and we got rid of the spirit of wolf. And this is why other people weren't able to get rid of it. We began to cast that demon out, and I didn't get the demon to tell me, the Lord told me. He said, wolf is a meat eater. And don't get afraid. I'm not fixing to turn you into a vegetarian yet. But it likes meat dripping with blood. And when it bites it, it slings it and scatters it. And I said, have you ever ate raw meat before? She said, yeah, I was forced by my boyfriend. He said it was very nutritious some years back. And I ate it, and it made me sick, and she got to thinking, and that's when my problem started. That's when I started having nightmares. That's when I started being so nervous, and my stomach was never the same. You see, the devil's tricky. He hides for a while, and then he begins to manifest little by little, so you won't know how he came in. He hid over there in the corner, like a time bomb. Like a lot of these preachers say, they ain't got a spirit of lust. Next thing you know, they done drove to New Orleans. Excuse me, Lord. But yet they can't have a spirit of lust. Well, anyway, the Lord's tearing all that down. But that demon I had, until one day I had to just go ahead and begin to manifest a little bit, and then a little bit more, and a little bit more, and boom. So that spirit of wolf came in, which gave that woman nightmares, which gave her a stomach problem and a nervous problem, and all the characteristics of a wolf. See, a wolf scatters sheep. And a lot of our church problems is the spirit of wolf working in people spiritually to scatter the soul. And see, when that woman ate that raw meat, she became a witch. Isn't that strange? A man would be a warlock, able to cast spells. And you'll say, well, I don't believe that if somebody's spirit-filled and Christian. I tell you who gave me more trouble than anybody else and still giving me more trouble is these spirit-filled, tongue-talking Christian people who are holier than thou, and they have these dreams and revelations, and they have these prayer meetings, these sweet little women, and don't want a covering over them. One of them came and gave my wife and I a prophecy and says, you're standing in muddy water, but she wouldn't finish it. I want to know what muddy water I'm standing in.
Let me make a remark about the wolf. If that lady had kept that long enough, she would have developed a disease known as lupus.
Lupus.
Because of Valentine's and lupus and wolf are all the same in the medical dictionary and in the Encyclopedia Britannica.
So Lucas disease could come from the spirit of wolf,
right,
which maybe not necessarily have you ate the raw meat, but maybe your grandpa ate raw meat. Lupus. And that's strange. So we're learning. I'm glad I came over here. My brother's teaching me. Praise God. A lot of your blood diseases come from that spirit of wolf, as he is sharing. And you can do a study on that. We're not going to leave you hanging. If you ever ate raw meat, we're going to just go through a deliverance and get God to have mercy on you, and you ask God to forgive you, and you forgive your forefathers. See, I ate raw meat one time because the home ec department dared me. All them little girls, you know. I said, I'll eat that before you cook it. And then the devil tricky. Yeah. Well, this was ground up, ground chuck. But it's still the same thing. Just a spoonful, but that's the way Santa do. So I got delivered from the spirit of wolf myself. After I found it in that girl. After I've been preaching for 15 years. 17 years. Praise God. So we're going to cover the scattered soul. Raw meat has a tendency to do it. And then if you've ever been had an operation, when you was cut open, the spirits, if you didn't go through everything just right, the spirits came into you. You lost part of your soul because of the anesthesia. Or what you call it?
Reggie, what's that raw meat? What's that blood today?
Blood.
The Bible said we found that blood is just as bad as the raw meat.
That's right. Blood.
Eat blood, blood pudding, blood sausage, drink blood soup, or drink hot blood.
Yeah. Amen.
Lots of problems.
That's right.
What kind of problem? Lust? Yeah. Yeah, it could be a scattered soul. And then, you know, vampire lusting. You know, spirit of vampire. It's looking for a virgin. Driving. Wants to put them two ugly teeth and bite them on the neck. All that spiritual. See, Frankenstein didn't just appear because a man said, let me do that. Somebody was in witchcraft and went through that. Same way with Walt Disney. Where do you think they got the picture of that castle? Could be right over before I preach. But I done pulled a couple of them posts down already in strongholds.
Hallelujah.
Were y'all ready to get delivered?
Yes.
Praise God. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Now, we're going to really get into business now. Maybe we can go in some more, but I feel like we need to stop right there. We got more, but we'll get that later. Hallelujah. We're going to have a mass deliverance, and then we're going to need to break up a little bit, I imagine, and help each other. Because as we begin to have mass deliverance, you might see somebody that's going to need help.
We have people here in the audience and all who
will. Okay, they'll help. Okay. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, as being obedient to your word, we take authority over the powers of darkness and witchcraft over right here over Arkansas. I bind every demonic power that would try to hinder the move of God. I pull down the strongholds, and Lord, my prayer is that you'll send warring angels right now to help us through those strongholds and minister as we take authority. I take authority right now over the spirits of the wolf and the lion that have scattered the soul and the parts of the bodies of these people. In Jesus' name, I command these demons to loose the pieces of the mind, will, and emotion, and the parts of the bodies from these people that have been through accidents or operations and maybe have done things they should not have done, like eating raw meat or drink blood. We break that curse in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I want you to pray with me. Though you might not be guilty, we need to forgive our forefathers, but yet it helps a person in front or behind you as you pray. It helps them to pray. So don't be so religious you can't pray with us. Hallelujah. Say, Father, I ask you to forgive me for being operated on, for taking medicines, for having to have parts of my body removed. Forgive me for taking medicines that have scattered my mind, my will and my emotions. Forgive me for being in accidents that have injured me physically. I break every curse spiritually, physically, and mentally off of me now. I command my soul and my body to be freed in Jesus' name. I command Satan and the demons that have the parts of my mind, my will and my emotions, to let them go in the name of Jesus. I command Satan
and all the demons
that have parts of my body
to let those parts go
right now in Jesus' name.
I ask you, Father,
send ministering angels
and all angels
out to pick up my missing pieces
and bring them back now.
Put back into my mind
the missing piece of my soul,
my will,
and my emotions.
Put back into my body
that missing member
in Jesus' name.
Lord, I ask you to forgive me
for every sex sin.
Forgive me for adultery.
For fornication,
I break that curse.
Forgive me, Lord.
I forgive
all my forefathers
on both sides,
all the way back to Adam and Eve.
I break that curse.
I command you, Satan,
to loose my mind, will, and emotions.
I command that harlot spirit.
Broken in Jesus' name.
Father, I ask you to send angels
to get the missing part of my soul.
Clip that soul tie
between me and that other member.
In Jesus' name.
And under your breath, you can, if you know that person, you need to call that person's name and say, Lord, I forgive them. You need to pray that in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Father, right now, as the people have prayed, I ask you to send the ministering angels out to pick up their missing pieces of their mind, will, and emotions and restore them. You know, even as David prayed, he restoreth my soul. Lord, right now, restore our soul. Put back the missing pieces in Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. In Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
As you're praying, one lady had to have a section. And sometime after the section, she said, I don't have any emotions. I don't cry. I don't feel anything. I don't care. We prayed and asked God to forgive for that operation that she had to have, but for God to forgive and command the demons to loose her feelings. See, feelings gone was the name of the spirit. To lose her feelings and bring the feelings back. And that happened. Now she's perfectly whole. In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command all feelings gone to loose these people this evening. I command the spirits that have scattered and torn their soul, the spirit of wolf, the spirit of lion, I come against you. Wolf, you loose the people now. Come on out. Every bit of you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on out of there, you spirit of a wolf that have scattered the souls of the people and even scattered their mind, will, and emotions, scattered parts of their body. You spirit of a wolf, you come out. I command the spirits of Jezebel and the spirits of Ahab and the curses of witches and warlocks out in Jesus' name. I break every curse and I speak the blessings of God in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Y'all keep praying. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. This woman here has got a tumor right here on her brain. It's going to kill her within a few days if that thing ain't dealt with. It's a tumor right here. And that tumor has caused her to begin to go insane. I don't know this woman, but that's what's happened to her. I don't know if she's even aware of that. And we need to drive that tumor out. That tumor come in for some reason. In Jesus' name, I come against this tumor. I come against this spirit of cancer. You've been hurt. You've got to forgive the Catholics. You've got to forgive the people that in the mission field. All of them. You've got to forgive them, even though you said you have. You've got to say it in the name of Jesus. And right now, Father, in Jesus' name, as she forgives, I break this curse that was put up on her. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I rebuke this fear and I drive out this tumor out of her brain on the right side. In the spirit of stroke, I rebuke you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You will not kill her. You will not destroy her. Command that tumor out now in Jesus' name. Father, heal her mind, will, and emotions right now in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command her mind whole. I command her mind whole. I rebuke the spirit and legion of insanity. Come on out of there, insanity. Every bit of you, you come out. I come against the spirit of insanity in Jesus' name. See, even raw meat brings insanity. I command that spirit of insanity out in Jesus' name. Come on out of the people. Come on out of all of the people in Jesus' name. Come on out of the people in Jesus' name. Insanity, come out. Come on out of there, every tumor and glauder. Come on out. Come on out, glauder, in Jesus' name. I command that pressure on the brain to come out. Fluid on the brain, come out in Jesus' name. Spirits of insanity out. Break every curse and fear in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. You don't have to be afraid of the spirits. This is something that you've got authority over. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I rebuke all fear. Command all tumor out. Every bit of that tumor and insanity. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on out of there, all you fear. Come on out, phobia. Come on out in Jesus' name. All resentment, bitterness, and hurt. Rejection and bitterness. Curses put on her through the people of Mexico. I break those curses. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I break those curses. Send them back to the sender. If they pray that her arm will be broken, I command those spirits to go back and break their arms. In Jesus' name. If a net's been spread, I command that net to go back and trip their feet. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I break every curse. In Jesus' name. Break every soul tie. In Jesus' name. Oh, son of Mahashana Mahasana. In Jesus' name, Father, set this lady free. Rebuke it and break every curse. In Jesus' name. I speak the peace of God. Praise God. In Jesus' name. Praise God. In Jesus' name, I rebuke paralysis. Jesus' name. Command that tumor on this side, that blood clot. Command paralysis and stroke to loose her in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I command you whole. Father, give her the peace of mind. Your mind in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. In Jesus' name. I rebuke that tormenting spirit. In Jesus' name, I drive out every curse. Break every curse.
This is the end of part A. Please play part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.